You have to ask Rabbi Wiener the halachas, because if a person wasn't mekabel fast yesterday, I don't know how that works. I'm not sure. But Lamaisa, the ikar is to daven. I know that people fasting, people did say Anenu today by Mincha. And it's pretty much across the line. Across the line, all the gedolim in like every single sector, and the Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Israelis, the Badats had a sign that had like the times in Eretz Yisrael of what time the davening is. It's at 5:30 over here. I think it's 11:30 by you.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then 12:12 would be Mekabel Ol Mechushamayim. So if you look on Yeshiva World, it has like the sign, the Badats put what time it's in London and one time in Antwerpen and in all the different places in the world. So it's a big thing. We'll talk about it at the end. So I just want to learn a little bit of halacha. Then we'll do our Haggadah. Hi, Yasala. So nice to see you over here. And then we'll talk about the tefillah. Hi. Okay, so we're in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And I just wanted to jump around. We have, we're doing a little bit about matzah. I think I'm going to skip some of the halachas after that. But there's the dinim of the bedika. So Kuf Yud Aleph, if you have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if not, Chap Rayan. Hi, Aaron. Nice to see you. And the halacha is...
Oh, your name. You didn't hear me?
Yasala, I'm so happy you got up. Okay. So halacha kuf yud aleph, simon kuf yud aleph, halacha aleph, b'layla shel lifnei erev Pesach, boikin es hachametz. We are baidik for the chametz, v'chayamim livdak miyad b'tchilas halayla. A person should check right away as soon as it becomes dark. V'asa l'hasa lecho. A person should not sit down to eat, d'aylasa shum malacha chatzi shal kaidem halayla. Even a half an hour before, you should not be starting any meals. I think I remember hearing from Rabbi Wiener. He said you could, if you know you're hungry, you want to eat a fruit or something, have a little drink, not alcohol, but a regular sort of drink in order to feel good. So you're allowed to do that before the Vedika, but a half an hour before, you should not do any sort of suda. Halacha beis is ein bayt kanela v'ner shel shava yechidi v'loy kaluyim. You should use a wax candle and not one of kaluyim. Means it has different braids. Mishum dahave kavuka. Then it becomes like a torch. V'shas hadchak she'ein loy ner shel shava yivdak b'ner shel chelav. You could use not of wax. You could use a fat. So halacha lamaisa, I think a lot of people like start off with the candle, but you know you use a flashlight? Does anyone use flashlights for bedika these days?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's
what most... Yeah, on our phones, we all have flashlights.
Oh, there you go. Right, take out the phone. people do like start off with a candle. And I think it's a nice minig. It's definitely part of the chill. And, you know, the feather and the whatever, the dustpan matzav. And, you know... tradition alive, especially when it comes to Pesach. But we will talk about the people. What does everyone do when you check a room? You shut off the lights or you keep the lights on?
Shut it off.
Turn it off.
Does anyone keep the lights on?
Keep it on.
No.
The lights on?
It's a warped minhag, no?
It's from keep 5 pounds. On.
So I heard that Reb Liashev was like, why would you shut off the lights? Like, you
how can you check the lights off?
Right. So no, but you have the
candle. What do you mean? That's the whole thing. You have the candle and the flashlight.
Right. So Reb Wiener told me that the candle and the flashlight is really for like the nooks and crannies, for the holes. But when you're looking for chametz, you should be able to see the dark. You should see in the dark. But this is a funny minute because no one's ever been in anyone else's house by Badika. So no one else, everyone thinks whatever they do is normal. And unlike some other things where you know people gavrach, people don't gavrach, people this, people that. Over here, everyone thinks whatever they do is that's the right thing. And, you know, It makes sense sometimes to keep on a light if you're looking for chametz, but whatever. Do whatever you know, whatever works for you.
What does Rebbe do?
So I used to keep the light off, and now I start with the bracha and the light off, and then we shut it. We put it back on.
You're but, actually looking for the chametz, or you're looking for the 10 pieces of bread?
Oh. So we'll talk about that. But Menachem just shut everyone down, basically. And yeah, there's a mitzvah to look for 10 pieces of bread. There's a mitzvah to look for chametz, and that goes back to how are you gonna look? Are you, if you have one of these very strong power flashlights, they could also help. I think Menachem's right. If you're looking for chametz, you need the lights on a shtickle. So I start with the lights off and then put it on. Okay, so yesterday we had Yehuda singing his Manashtana. I was gonna invite him back for Avada Mayinu today. Should we invite him?
Yeah. I wasn't here.
Oh, right. He sang the first part of Manashtana. But I think that we'll invite him for tomorrow, maybe. I think they're out. We have like 5 more hours before the whole country goes on lockdown, so they're chopping a line outside.
What do you mean? Why?
I heard there's a curfew over here. Something.
Yeah.
You,
what?
Pesach, you know the rules?
I think if from 5 a.m. from 5 p.m. your time or something like that, you're not going to be able to leave 100 meters from your house unless it's absolutely necessary.
But you could go to the supermarket, so I don't know how that works exactly.
So what does necessary mean? Like, you can do anything.
And there's a Makolet on every block. It's not really
right. And if I need some drugs, I just go down 2 blocks. But I guess it's probably to shut down the minyanim everywhere. I don't know. But we
are you down with the minion?
I haven't down with the minion, yeah. We'll talk about that. But we have a minion in our building. Minchan Ma'ariv every night. Over here the Gedolim said if you could keep the rules, which is like keep 6 feet between everyone. So then you
everyone's
should...
doing that?
Pretty much. People are being cautious, they're nervous. I think everyone at this point knows someone that has corona, no?
Yeah.
So, I mean, your minions indoors or outdoors?
It's like there's like 6 people indoors, and then there's one person down in the machzan, and another person, 3 people outside, and like, you know, we're being mitzar of everyone.
Timeish, okay.
What?
No, it's like, okay.
Ruby, I thought this doesn't work. Ruby, I thought you need 10 people in the room.
So that is true. L'chatchila, you should have.
Like they're saying, like having people in the ites or the as a nashim doesn't work. They're saying.
Right. So that would be l'chatchila, and we're not in such a l'chatchila matzav right now. But what we tried to do was pretty much like there's. Everyone's under the same roof. I mean, as long as you have 10 people under the same roof. So if some people are in the machsan area and some people are outside the front door area, but it's still on the overhang over there, whatever. We're trying to keep that. But I heard tomorrow we're not allowed to daven indoors anymore. So, I mean, you can't have any public gathering. So we're going to have to be outside. So then it works again. But it's warming up. So hopefully should be okay. Anyway, back to the Haggadah. I want to say a couple of quick words and then maybe just talk a little bit about the Tefillah Matzev. So, Bekitzer, we started the Manashtana yesterday and we said the gist of all the questions was that the kid is really asking, is tonight a night of celebration for Geula or is it a night of a night of commemorating the suffering, the maror. So we said it's really a little bit of both, because there's Avada Mayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out, and had Hashem not taken us out, so then we would still be there. So basically, we said the classic pshat is that had Hashem not taken us out after 210 years, we would have got stuck in Mitzrayim because we were holding at the 49th level of Tumah, and we would have hit the 50th and been stuck in Mitzrayim. We would have never been able to bring ourselves up to that level of being able to be Mekabel the Torah. So Hashem had to take us out early, and because he took us out early, So it was a geula, and Hashem was taking care of us. But at the same time, we have to go through the other galuses that Klal Yisrael were still in today because we have to make up for that lost time. So it's a night that we celebrate the geula, but at the same time, we commemorate the sufferings of other galuses, and therefore Tisha B'Av is the same night as Pesach. So that was one pshat. Another pshat that the Vilna Gaon says is that the gist of the questions is Halayla Hazeh, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. Why is tonight different? As in that most mitzvahs that we have that are like time-bound are usually by day. Anyone know any time-bound mitzvahs?
Kriyashma.
Okay, so Kriyashma, a good one. But Kriyashma, there is one by day and one by night.
Are you saying only by day?
Yeah. But any time-bound. Let's hear more time-bound.
Tefillin.
Tefillin is by day, right? Tzitzis.
Tzman Tefila.
Tzman Tefila, right.
Lulav and Esrog.
Lulav and Esrog, very good. Shofar. So most mitzvahs that we have that are time-bound are usually day mitzvahs. If it's like sukkah, so it's by day and by night. But where do we find that there's a mitzvah dafka by night, only by night? So that's the real question that the child is asking over here, the Vilna Gaon says. Is manesh tana halayla hazeh? That tonight, why is tonight different? That tonight we have all these mitzvahs that we don't usually have. We don't have time-bound mitzvahs dafka by night. And what are we answering him? We're answering that Hashem took us out, b'yad chazaka of Israel and Atiyah, and the Zayar tells us that that night was like day, that the sun was out, and there was total light outside, and it was a matzav, it was a mamish, a real matzav. And l'chayra pshat is that in a deeper way, hi Yosef, in a deeper way, the geula represents Hashem bringing the light into the world. Gullus is nighttime. Gullus is dark. We don't really see Hashem. We don't really understand what's going on. But we know deep down we have to have a muna balelais, right? And lahagid ba'beikir chazdecha is once the sun comes up, once the light comes into the world, and we understand, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we see why everything had to be the way it was. And that's really turning the night into day. So that's dafka what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. That night, he turned the night into the day that he revealed himself in the highest level possible. The world understood and saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a Nivalei Malach. And Memela, that night becomes to us a night that we celebrate like the day, that we have all these mitzvahs, dafka by daytime, dafka by night over here, even though it's not the regular time that we usually celebrate these types of mitzvahs. Now, I wanted to just stress over here that what we're trying to do in the Haggadah is that really there's two purposes of the Seder night. What I've been mekabel from my Rabbeim is that there's, number one, we speak about all the hardships in Mitzrayim. We're supposed to try and experience what happened in Mitzrayim. And then we got through to the Geula and experienced that Geula. And then that's supposed to bring us to a level of praising Hashem. So it's really thinking about and feeling what happened in Mitzrayim to get to that level of Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the end part of the Haggadah. It's leading into the Hallel. Those are the two main focuses that a person should have throughout the Haggadah. It's really trying to feel what went on in order to experience that Geula and then to want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what we're trying to do over here with all these Vertalach is really to bring out what was going on in Mitzrayim and how this is supposed to affect us feeling that Shibud and that Geula. And that should be a person's focus. We're not trying to say just vertalach of like, you know, nice tiras, but really trying to find a way to connect in order to get to that level of haidah. Okay, so there's another pshat that's brought down. Again, the words of the Haggadah now are Avadim aginu l'parim Mitzrayim, v'yetzienu Hashem lekenu misham b'yad chazaka v'zrayin netuya. V'ilu, and if Hashem had not taken us out, so we say very interesting words. We say, "Loi haitzi Hakadosh Baruch Hu as avisin b'Mitzrayim harei anu uvaneinu uvanei vaneinu mishubadim ayinu l'parim b'Mitzrayim." Had Hashem not taken us out, us and our children and our grandchildren would still be slaves to Hakadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. Which that's a big chiddush to say that we still to today we would be slaves to parim Mitzrayim. That seems a little bit a little bit extreme, because we know that pretty much every single empire that's been around is gone. And today, you know, it's true. Western civilization is a product of Rome, but there's no Roman Empire. There's no Egyptian Empire. There's nothing. So why would we still be a slave to Pharaoh Mitzrayim? So the pshat that we've been saying until now is that we would have that Egyptian mentality. We would be so low that we would still be like Mitzrayim. But the Sifsei Kain, who's the Talmud of the Arizal, says a very interesting pshat. He says that Mitzrayim was actually created into a world superpower by Yosef. Right? Everyone knows the story with Yosef, how he supported the whole world. So he pretty much got the world's wealth. And Egypt built themselves into the greatest superpower the world had ever seen. And anytime there was a great professor, a mathematician, or any great guy, Pharaoh paid for him to come down to Mitzrayim. Egypt was sitting on tremendous wealth, and they built themselves into the world leader of everything. And therefore, they were able to they had the strongest army, like America today. And there was no reason why they would ever collapse. On top of that, they had the entire city was bordered, and there were 24 gates. On top of these gates, every single one of them had a different animal. So, for example, the horse gate. So if a servant tried to escape through the horse gates, so that animal on top would start neighing, and then all the other horses around the whole country would start neighing with that animal as well. And automatically, the police knew exactly where someone was trying to break out from, and they would go and apprehend him, and, you know, put him in jail, whatever. So that's why we know, Rashi says, that no slave ever left Egypt. It was impossible to get out. He had the best magicians there. They were really a world superpower. On the night of Mitzrayim, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael to go through the gate of the dogs. This big dog on top of that gate. And Hashem told them to go dafka through that gate. And the pasuk tells us, "V'lo yecheratz kelev l'shane," that not one dog barked, even though against the magicians had put powers on these gates, and technically that dog should have started barking, and all the other dogs should have started barking. This time, Hashem took them through, and not one dog barked. So that's why we have a special hakaras hatov to the dogs. But basically, the point that Sifsei Kainan is saying is that b'derech hateva, Klal Yisrael would still be in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim should be a world superpower till today, and we would be stuck there. Had Hashem not totally decimated Mitzrayim, destroyed everything over there, and Mamela, we got the wealth, and we were able to get out. So that brings us into a Mitzvah Shem. Tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, morning, whatever it is, we will go into the Maisa of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Loza, in that they were sitting in Bnei Brak. Just one more minute, or two more minutes, talking about the matzah of today. So we know that anytime, the Rambam says that anytime that Klal Yisrael is going through a tzara, that's a time to daven. It's a mitzvah daraisa, dafka, at that time to daven. And I've heard this from others, but it's a scary thing that our shuls are closed. It's a scary thing that our schools are closed. In a way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wanted to bring something to the world, could have found many ways to bring things to the world without, you know, he wants to cause Iran and China and Singapore and Italy to all going through a tzara, and America as well. He could have found a different way that we could have still had our schools open. And in a way, I think every single one of us has to try and do some introspection. Why doesn't Hashem want our tefillas? Why doesn't Hashem want our shuls? And I think we know the answer. And a lot of the big campaign against talking in shul and you know, our phones in shul and just having the proper decorum.
It doesn't leave it by itself.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Okay, we'll just kind of finish up. So the point is that every single one of us really needs to think how we could, you know, make the shul a better place for ourselves and be more focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw a headline that even after this, they're over with this whole corona, life might be different. I don't know what that meant. I didn't look at the article, but I think it has to be different. I think if you haven't been in shul for a month and then we're let back, we have to think, you know, how am I going to approach being in a base medrash, being in a base knesses, now that I'm allowed to come back? And I think that's something that we should really try and think about. And Klal Yisrael joining together, it could be a major, major, we could have a major effect in Shemayim towards what's going on. And we have no ideas how this could all end. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to open up the floodgates of Rachamim. And Amitz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen, will listen to our tefillas. It was a story I heard a bunch of years ago. I had a chavrusa in the mirror. And he told me, he heard this, Mamish direct. His mother-in-law told him this story. And she heard it from the person it happened to. She was sitting in a shir in Washington Heights. And she said a woman got up at the end of the shir and she said that this had gone back a bunch of months before that. She said one night she was walking down the street in Washington Heights. It was pretty narrow. The cars were parked all around. And she sees like this big Schwarzer guy walking by. And he had this murderous look in his eyes. And she was freaking out. But she knew like there was no one else on the street. She looked around. And she said, I just started saying Tehillim. But I heard that if you make eye contact with people, so it's sometimes, you know, they feel like connected. They don't do anything to you. So she said, I made eye contact with him. And I just looked at him. And I kept on walking. And I walked past. And then like a minute later, she hears a gunshot. And she turns around and there was someone walking behind her and the guy had just shot her. The police came pretty quickly and they were able to apprehend him and she was able to identify him. She was one of the witnesses. She had to identify him and there was a whole court case. And she was pretty much the star witness and finding he pleaded guilty, I think, in the end. And she was there. She was part of that whole court case. At the end, she turned to the lawyer and she said, I wanted to ask him one question. And the lawyer said he would ask it for her. She said, I don't understand. I saw a murderous look in this guy's eyes. Why didn't he shoot me? Why did he shoot someone behind me? And when the lawyer asked the question to the guy's like, are you nuts? You're walking with two huge bodyguards. I wouldn't touch you. And there was no bodyguards. There was no people there. She obviously had two malachim walking next to her. And I'm telling you, I heard this from my chavrusa, who heard it from his mother-in-law, who was at the shir, who heard it from the woman. So it's like third generation. But that's pretty close. And there's
sounds really far.
What?
Sounds really far. Like
Does sound far. Doesn't sound so far. But the point is, you could go directly back to the story. It really, I mean, as far as to me, it really happened because, you know, for me, it's just two. But the point is that we know tefillah could create crazy, crazy things, crazy schosim, crazy malachim, and the world runs on tefillah. Mitzvah Hashem, Hashem should listen to our tefillahs. We should have the heart to connect to our tefillahs, and we should be zeicha to see an end to all of the tzaras that we're going through right now. Shkoyach for joining us, guys.